Tonight, on episode number 149 of the Sauce Pod, it's the Best of the Sauce Volume 2 with clips from episode 8, 49, 63, 74, and 123. It's going to be a virtual time machine tonight. Episode 149, next. Good evening, Sauce Pod streamers from coast to coast. It's me, Tony Sometimes, and this is episode number 149 of the Sauce Podcast, coming at you live from inside the FingerLakes1.com studios deep beneath historic downtown Seneca Falls, New York. It's Monday, May 19th, 2014, and tonight we're going to take you back in time over the past 3 years and 48 some odd episodes of the Sauce Pod. We're going to look at episode 8 from 2011, our 8th episode, and a conversation around my high school soccer playing days. We're going to look at episode 49, which features the only freestyle rap battle ever held here in the Sauce Pod between myself and the fabulous Shimbashi. We're going to go live to Red's Place, or we were live in Red's Place in July of 2012, where an epic taco eating battle ensued. And we're going to relive the final moments of that epic culinary throwdown. Episode 74, Hunting Dog, one of the most famous guests we've ever had in the studio. And you'll see why as we take you back to October 15th, 2012. And then from episode 123, entitled Fine Southern Gentleman, Zach Supernova was in studio. He's a reoccurring guest. And we got a little portion of some local restaurant reviews that we did when he was in here that was pretty enjoyable. And so there you have it. We're taking you across three separate years and through time. That's why I wore the shades tonight. Actually, I wore the shades because I got sunglasses on in the studio. Not because it was just such a wonderful spring day today, but because I have a splitting, debilitating headache. And for me, headaches, it's the light that does it more than the sound. Sound doesn't bother my headaches, but light, yeah. So let's go back now to April 23rd, 2012. Shimbashi's in studio, and apparently he, at one point, went to a actual freestyle rap battle and got booed off the stage because he froze, not unlike Marshall Mathers in his first attempt at freestyling in the movie 10 Mile, 5 Mile, 9 Mile. You know the one I'm talking about, but he goes for a little redemption, episode 8. Now think about it. We've done, this is the 149th episode, and I'm up here by myself tonight. But this is going all the way back to 8. So the sound quality isn't perfect. But, oh, actually, this isn't episode number 8. I'm sorry. This is episode number 49. So we're going back to we'll go back to episode 8 extra, but the epic freestyle rap battle occurred on April 23rd, 2012. Episode 49, I Need to Swivel and Swirl. What do you say we have a listen?
What if you get in the seat and you freeze up like you did at that freestyle competition you were telling me about earlier?
Or debut on the Sauce Pod last week, the first 60 seconds, right? You were a little nervous.
Yes,
imagine if it was
that's
Jeopardy.
That's what brought up. Why don't you tell our listeners about the time that you were at a freestyle competition?
Wow.
What's your nickname?
I shouldn't have came here 5 minutes early to talk to Sashi Joe in the lobby, huh?
I'll freestyle against you right now.
Wait.
If we can get somebody to kick a beat up here.
Yeah, that's the thing. We need a beat. I don't know if I can do it, though. No, come on. Let's not do that. I haven't had enough beers yet.
Fuck you guys.
I mean, I could. Whatever. Hey, all right, whatever. We'll see. I mean.
Yeah, when you say you're going to freestyle, against someone. That's funny, because you're out going out on a limb.
Way back in the day.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Way back in the day when I lived in South Florida, went to a nightclub, dance club, and they were having a freestyle competition. And, you know, I always would freestyle in my room, kicking it with my friends, you know, just, you know, for fun. And my buddy's like, oh, man, you need to get on there. He got me on stage, and the beat turned on, and I looked out, and I had the Eminem moment. Ooh, I just froze, and I got booed off the stage. One dude came, hey, there goes that motherfucker that got kicked off the stage. And I was, yeah, it wasn't a good time. Walked around the club for the rest of the night with my head down, trying to get my friend to leave, who was hammered
drunk.
You're
walking around the club, and everybody's just, like, pointing and laughing at you.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, there's not that many, there wasn't that many Caucasian young, you know, teenage males walking around. I mean, you know, it was more of a...
You got booed off the
stage. Yeah, I definitely did.
That's shameful.
It is. But
someday you'll get your redemption.
You never know.
And that'll be
See, but that's why
movie.
I always wanted to be on radio, because, like, sometimes you can hear nervousness in people's voices, but... Like, I think the longer and more I do this, the easier it becomes. And, you know, not that many people see you on radio unless, you know, obviously now they could see us on the Finger Lakes 1.TV, so that's all cool and stuff. But, yeah. And I don't have that good of a face for TV either, I don't think so. But you never know.
I think I got some beat.
Okay. I got to turn my mic up. I can't hear myself. Actually, I like that beat. Where are we? I'm in a buster right now. Which one am I?
I'm in a buster.
I am.
I love it.
It's not your microphone,
yo,
man. It's just your headphones.
That's my headphone. Yo, up in the podcast, you know what we do. Me, Aaron D, you, we coming through. We about to do this podcast live on the internet. So get your set wet, because about to get your shirt wet. Yo, I'm coming from the South, dirty as ever. And who you know that's clever than me? Nobody. It's the Ryan to the Michael to the Key. Yeah, that's me. That's right. Yo, I'm smoking all night. No, I ain't. I'm just chilling. I don't give a hell. And I'm riding like the villain.
Yeah.
Yo. Let me all right. That's enough. That's garbage.
I'm the J-N-I-C-E. I'm in effect everywhere you're looking out. You can bet that I'm not very good at freestyling. Kind of rusty. I like the girls that are short and kind of busty.
Hold on.
Yo. Let me get a second shot. Yo. Here we go, yo. All I do is rise above hate, and all you do is sit at your house and masturbate, watching gay porn, sitting on the lawn, while I'm smoking big blunts, while I'm on the John, dropping big deuces, yeah, upper deckers, yeah, I take your girl to Checkers, and then take her downtown, I take her down to the flow, you know I'm ready to go, I take that shit once, yeah, I'm out. Yo.
All right, now it's Danny's right, turn.
You win, my friend.
This
go,
is
Dandy.
Ridiculous. This is ridiculous, man.
When I'm on the mic, I like to rumble. I never stumble. My name is Jay Nice, not Chip City or Meb Krungle.
Oh!
That's a call out from way back.
That was.
See, I can only do one rhyme at a time. Not really freestyle.
I haven't freestyled forever, man. I don't know.
I used to freestyle a lot on stage, but my brain's too slow. But... You win that battle, my friend.
I don't think so, man. I don't think
that
so.
One
I think Aaron won that one with the beatboxing.
Nobody got booed off the stage, so everybody wins.
I got laughed at. It's normal.
Yeah, I would call that your web redemption.
That was garbage.
Yeah, there you go. A little freestyle rapping up here in the studio. I didn't say it was going to be a quality rap battle. Obviously, I got told by Shimbashi, who was really laying down some pretty slick rhymes for freestyling. You know, freestyling being the art of rapping off the top of your head. So, from that competition, I'd like to take us now to another competition from the past. This would be back on July 31st of 2012, we took the show on the road to Red's Place, downtown Seneca Falls, and there was an epic taco eating contest. You had Johnny Walters facing off against Bill Major and the third guy, the guy, He was actually the eventual winner. And his name escapes me right now, but you know what? We'll hear about it here when we go now to episode 63, a methodical approach. Tiny Danger sitting in on the commentary crew with myself and Joe Theory at Red's Place for the final 7 or so minutes of what was a epic taco eating contest at Red's Place. Let's have a listen.
Let's watch a replay of this last bite by Major. The first bite he's taken over 5 minutes.
Now watch him stand on his face as he shakes his head and says, "No, I don't think I can do it." The gallery is starting to chant against the leader, Tugboat Scotty.
I told you, he doesn't have the least amount of fanfare here tonight.
Yes,
everybody's behind Majors, but he doesn't seem to have what it takes to appease the hometown crowd.
The hometown hero, Majors, is definitely lacking.
We got Tugboat Scotty. If this competition was at Hornell, tables would be turned, but...
The bravado and stones on this guy right now, Tugboat Scotty, as he sits back and waits for Majors to catch up. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Tony.
There we go.
Unbelievable,
Billy finishes. Tiny. Finally finishes 28. 31 to 28, 5 minutes.
There's a 3-tackle deficit that separates these champions. I'd just like to say, everyone that competes tonight is a champion. Just the goading and carrying on of the gallery.
Hey, competition's over.
Yes.
These three competitions
are over. We should put them on a different level.
I believe Tiny Daniels mentioned something about a falafel.
Falafel level?
I'm not sure what he said. Falafel?
Scotty's back to eating over here. I don't know if you noticed, but Scotty is back to eating tacos.
Even with a 3-tackle lead.
He's at 31 and a half. Now, keep in mind, you don't get credit for a taco until the whole thing's gone, so it won't be 31 and a half. He has to finish to get 32.
Look at the anticipation on the faces of the gallery right now. It's unbelievable. They're in various
3 minutes.
Shirts.
3 minutes.
Jim, I'd like to talk about something a little bit. I'd like to have another talk about something a little bit. So what do you think, boys?
I think it's Scotty's over. I don't think Major has it with that amount of support from the crowd to only get through another half a taco in the last 10 minutes.
I think that coach and talent scout Rudy P. Ringtone really knew what he was doing tonight when he brought
in a horse in the race.
When he
really
brought in Tugboat Scotty.
Is he done? Is he done? It's over!
He raised his hand, it's over, folks!
31 tacos, Tugboat Scotty!
You're champion!
New record here at Red's Place for the most tacos eaten in the 2012 Sauce Pod Rocco's Tacos Competitive Eating Champion. 2 titles in 2 weeks on the FingerLakes1.com network for this guy.
Oh, no. Now, here it comes now. Here comes his sponsor, Rudy P.
Have
Ringtone,
a seat,
delivering
Rudy.
Napkins. Have a seat, Rudy P. Ringtone.
This guy found this guy.
Oh, as he enjoys the celebratory taco. Unbelievable.
Rudy, here. Come sit with us. Could that be one of those
talk shows? Scotty, how do you feel? How's it feel to be the champion? Feel good?
I'm so
we got a puker.
I'm happy I won. I don't know.
Could you have eaten 2 more tacos if you had to?
He would have put down, started getting closer to me.
Huh. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you can hear this, but in the background, the gallery is encouraging, absolutely encouraging our last competitor, Majors, to vomit right now.
There goes Bill. There he goes.
There he goes. He's talking to some compatriots.
Big job here.
Let's get some commentary from the sponsor of Scotty, Tugboat Scotty, Rudy P. Ringo.
Where'd you find this guy, Rudy?
I held preliminary trials for this. It came down between him and a guy named Chris Harker, and really, he just had the fight in his eyes. We never doubted him from the start. He was actually my dark horse in our original battles. He came from a field of 32. Over the course of the past 3 weeks, he was the last man standing. We were actually worried we damaged his stomach, but it looked like it still held through, and we never died you the whole now, way. Bo, get in here, Bo.
Have you seen this guy eat before, besides tacos?
I found him on Craigslist. It was a dating ad. There you go. Have a seat, Bo. You're the co-coach here.
Yeah.
Tell him where we found him.
Now, Chris Harker, his competitive eating name, I believe, is Brutus. Brutus just was not ready to bring it tonight. So instead, Brutus was in performance at eating hands. So you said we need to bring. Yeah. We're all about integrity. We're all about class here at Bulls Run Grill and Ale House. We need to bring our major competitor, Tugboat Scotty. And he won it tonight. Congratulations. I'd just like to say congratulations to you.
Nice job. Actually, it was a really nice job.
The epitome of class.
Well, guys, I say we had a good time tonight, right? For episode 63 of the Sauce Pod, live at Red's Place.
Yeah, unbelievable. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Mike Smith, Tiny Digger, back in for the sauce.
We saw 73 tacos eaten in this competition tonight, but nobody ate more than our champion, Tugboat Scotty, with 31, a new record. He's your champ.
And a new record for tacos served here tonight, I'd say at 183 or so, 185.
Yeah, well, and county.
We'll give you an official count. It's not over yet.
Hey, Darnell.
So for Tiny Danger and Saucy Joe, my name is Tony Sometimes. Thanks for listening to episode 63 of the Sauce Pod. And, I don't know. Look for us on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. What an epic battle. I got to tell you, 31 tacos in less than an hour. I mean, these are hard shell tacos, you know, pretty good size, a lot of meat in them. And 31's a lot. And actually, a little behind the scenes, old Tugboat Scotty. First of all, a week prior, he competed in the FingerLakes1.com 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And his team won. And then he comes back a week later and wins in an entirely different discipline. This guy is just a true champion. But he did go out and throw up 31 tacos right on Fall Street after the competition. All three competitors actually threw up, but it wasn't even close. Major flamed out despite having the home court advantage and a bunch of people behind him. He couldn't keep up with Tugboat Scotty. Well, let's jump ahead now to, let's jump ahead, like way ahead. Like, let's jump ahead exactly 60 episodes to October 28th, 2013, episode 123. And our good friend Zach Supernova was in studio. And we just talking some local restaurants. So a little change of pace. And here we go.
Aside from the standing desk, this weekend went up to Halsey's, had some dinner. And it was good. I'm telling you, it was good. When's the last time you guys eat at Halsey's in Geneva?
I ate there like 2 weeks after they opened.
That would be a never.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And what did you get, Mysterious Taco Girl?
Wow.
Can't remember what you got? I got...
My meal was awful, but...
It wasn't good?
No.
My meal was good.
I ordered wrong.
You
so
ordered,
it was your fault.
You took a chance?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But you can't remember what it is?
It was the chicken salsa boca.
Oh.
But my neighbor, companion, got a pizza, and their pizza is always good.
I hear that they got good pizza. I got the duck breast over Swiss chard with a cherry sauce.
And yeah, that sounds awful.
If no, are you kidding me? I think you'd like it. Why would you not like that?
What kind of mood are you in right now?
I don't like
Swiss chard?
Duck.
No?
Or cherries.
Oh.
Water birds are really greasy. So if you like duck or goose, it's kind of greasy.
I'm with
goddamn
Zach Supernova.
Greasy water birds.
I'm just saying.
They are a bit more greasy, but this was a breast that was sliced, and it wasn't greasy. It was delicious. It was perfectly cooked, and the sauce was great. The Swiss chard was good. It was a good dinner. I had a little creme brulee.
What do you think about creme brulee?
Nice
I love it. Wedge salad.
I don't understand it.
Why?
I just don't get it. It's a weird dessert for me.
Pudding with cream, with
crispy sugar top.
Yeah, I know what it is. Everybody, thanks. Danny, you want to chime in and tell me what creme brulee is, too, since these two already hit me up?
I don't know what it is.
Danny, you ever eat at Halsey's?
We should. They both just told us.
You ever eat at Halsey's?
Yeah.
And Geneva, what do you think?
It was all right. It's nothing spectacular.
What'd you order?
I don't know. I would imagine the steak.
Did you get the meat sweats?
No.
Can't have been too good.
It wasn't bad enough for me to remember that it was bad, if it was bad, you know.
Or good enough to remember that it was good.
Well,
I remember the bad ones. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
What did you eat? Oh, yeah, that now. I think I was with you the last time you ate at Halsey's, and that was a long time ago.
That's
so
the
I'm
last
not
time I went
ask
to
you
Halsey's.
What you ate, because
I don't remember.
Could
I
not remember.
Like I do believe you were there, though. We sat up on the upper part, right? Or did we sit down?
We sat down.
They have good salads.
I had a nice wedge salad. Zach Supernova, favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant anywhere? Or?
Favorite restaurant.
God damn it, answer the question. That's a good one. I'm going to have to go with...
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Nope, I'm going to have to go with El Mexicano up in Glens Falls.
It's a fine Irish restaurant, right?
Yeah.
In Glens Falls?
They have some of the best enchiladas I've ever had, and they've got a little mariachi dude who walks around, and if you pay him $1, he'll sing you a song.
Nice.
That's a nice bonus. Now, Zach, water birds, yes or no?
No.
Too greasy.
You don't like them because of the grease?
Well, I don't like them because of the grease. I also don't like them because I went to college in Oswego, and they had flocks of Canadian geese who would stand under my window and honk at 6 a.m. and it was unpleasant.
So you don't like to
eat
them?
Yeah.
No.
Get your exact revenge on them.
Eat them in front of them. Sit in your
my revenge would be to work at a goose farm where I could just slaughter them and not have to eat them.
Rape the geese.
That's not, no.
Crush them with a truck?
No, no. I don't think... I don't know.
Goose raper.
All right, well, what's your favorite restaurant?
My favorite restaurant. It's hard to say because there's restaurants you go to a lot every day, and there's special restaurants you go to. But, you know, one of my favorite restaurants right now is somebody said, where do you want to go? You go anywhere. It would probably be Morrow's Table in Auburn.
She's so highly critical of all the foods and restaurants that you like.
Can't believe you don't like Morrow's Table. What's not to like?
She actually stuck her tongue out and went, bleh.
I like Bambino's in Auburn a lot, too.
Oh, that is good. They're good.
You know what restaurant has a special place in my heart, though? It might not be my absolute favorite of all time, but I really, really love it, is Antonina's.
Just
gotta love Antonina's.
Classic.
In fact, I'm going there tomorrow night.
Holy smokes.
What will you order?
I am going to get the chicken parmesan.
What do you think?
With shells?
You gotta get the shells. Get shells.
Comes with shells. I thought it was just either spaghetti or ziti.
I get chicken parm, spaghetti, and potatoes, circles, the garlic potatoes.
Potato circles.
Whatever they call them.
Now, I've made the garlic potatoes at home. They're not as good, but
you can pull
buy
it off.
Them and make them.
What do you mean you buy them?
So, like, at the store, I never knew this either. You can get a can of sliced...
Is that how they make them?
Sliced
potatoes. Yeah.
And you just deep fry them and put some garlic salt.
Or you could just buy a potato and slice it.
Yeah, but these are small and, like, soft.
They're perfect. It's nothing worse than peeling potatoes.
No, that's why
it's
they.
My job.
No, actually, there's like smallpox. That's worse than potatoes. Peeling potatoes.
I don't know.
Getting crushed under a truck.
Yep.
Pretty bad.
Watching 2020.
That's pretty bad.
Having geese outside your door while Oswego.
Yep. True. Pretty bad. I like peeling potatoes. Give me a nice
geese are mean. Carrots. If you're walking along the paths in the morning and there are geese nearby, they'll like hiss at you and chase you.
Yeah, and they can
because they think you're going to mess with their babies.
Take their wings and crush you.
Like this.
No, that's a seal.
I'm crushing your head.
Zach Supernova.
Crushing
it. If you were a seal,
how would you clap?
How would you clap your hands if you were a seal? Show me.
I'm a seal.
Right. Yeah. If you see the episode from last week, this guy is...
2 weeks ago, I think.
Clueless as to how a seal functions.
Like this.
That's how he thinks a seal works.
You're totally off base.
They clap
here,
their
sir.
Hands backwards.
No, I'm simulating a seal. I'm not saying a seal.
Sir,
actually.
I will have no more of your tomfoolery.
You don't have any seals in the south of the Mason-Dixon line.
No, sir.
No.
Hey, you know...
I don't cotton to them swarthy foreign types.
With the way that the news media is covering stories nowadays, a lot of people are turning to us for the hard news.
Soft spot?
Are they?
Yeah, so hold on tight.
He's a hard-boiled news hound.
It's time for the news.
With a penchant for facts.
Breaking news, Zach Supernova is awesome. Really enjoy having him up here in studio. He's a funny guy, nice guy, knowledgeable guy on a variety of subjects. And I'm sure that won't be the last time that you see Zach Supernova on up here in studio live or in a clip from the Best of the Sauce Pod. Because there's more. But for now, I know earlier in this episode I told you about episode 8 back in 2011, the 8th episode that we ever did. And what happened here is we talked about my high school soccer experience. And in it, basically, I was on the first ever varsity soccer team at Minders Academy. The year was 1989. And there was a lot of politics back in that day, and they had wanted the soccer program to kind of fail. And they hired a teacher who really wasn't cut out to coach a soccer team because he never played soccer or coached soccer. Matter of fact, he came to the first soccer practice with a book, How to Coach Soccer. Nonetheless, this guy's a really nice guy and was a great teacher. And I don't, one part about this is we kind of poke a little fun at him as a soccer coach in this clip. But certainly, you know, they think that he was put in a tough situation. But hey, let's travel back in time to May 12th, 2011, almost 3 years to the day. For episode 8 of the Sauce Pod, and it's entitled Take a Loop, and you'll find out why here. Again, this is before video, so you're going to just have to have a listen.
The best men's soccer team of all time was the 1998 Rec League Red Team in Seneca Falls.
Yeah, you remember?
Yeah, I scored a goal.
Freaking,
you should have seen this.
Sure,
88.
I never played any soccer. You play soccer?
88.
Oh, yeah, I played soccer. I was a member of the first varsity soccer team at Minders Academy ever had. And we won 2 games all year. Then we got a new coach. The following year, we won the league.
Wow.
So if you think
improvement,
if you think coaching doesn't matter, then
you got another thing coming.
That's right.
You can take a loop.
Right. Yeah, actually, I could have some great stories from that first year. Our coach. I don't really know if I should share all these stories, but since I already said
it. Why not? We already opened that can of worms.
Well, instead
let's investigate.
When he got mad, he was Polish?
I think Polish.
Polish national descent. And so he talked a certain way. And instead of telling us to take a laugh when he got mad at us, he would say, take a loop.
Take a loop.
Didn't somebody drop take a loop earlier?
Huh?
In this podcast, someone said a loop instead of laugh.
Yeah, I just said it. That's why we got into this segment.
Oh, word.
Take a loop.
Okay, fair enough.
That's one thing he did. Another thing he did, what he said was, we're playing in a game. You know, keep in mind we won two games all year. We were a laughing stock. And there's a timeout in a game, and it was a warm day. And he huddles us all in, and we're all listening to see what the coach is going to tell us, what kind of advice he's going to give us. And he says, when the sun goes behind the clouds, pour it on!
Think about that.
I'm thinking about it right now.
His advice was, when the sun goes behind the clouds.
This is just a group of 14-year-old boys.
No, we were varsity. We were 16, 17, 18. Pour it on when the sun goes behind the clouds. So,
Pour it on.
So when the sun's out, you know, don't pour it on. But when you notice that the sun's behind the clouds,
Go for it. Pour it on.
So all great coaching advice. You know, and, you know, it's not necessarily his fault. He was kind of a somehow appointed coach. He didn't know much about soccer.
It was a newly formed team.
Yeah, I mean, a new program, new team. They needed a coach. He was game, but he came to the first soccer practice with a book on how to coach soccer.
Yeah, I've had a coach. I had a lacrosse coach like that my 10th grade year. Literally had the book.
He brought a how to coach soccer book to your lacrosse practice?
Well,
that's ridiculous.
That pretty close to that, but yeah, he had a little manual.
Varsity Minor Soccer. You know, chapter one, in soccer they're called loops and not laughs.
That's right.
And chapter two, meteorology in soccer.
When the sun. How goes it works for you.
Now, there's also another time when we were at McDonald's, and, you know, he was didn't have such a firm grasp on the team discipline. You know, we were a wild bunch. Anyways, a bit of a food fight erupted at McDonald's on the way home from a game. And when we got back into the bus, he said he told us how embarrassed he was of us. And he said, a woman had to cover her cup for fear of flying tomato.
True story.
I'm the machine.
Oh, man. But anyways, the next year,
that coach's name we had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The next year, we had a German coach German descent. So right. Different accent. And we go... We win the league and go to sectionals. Win the league. And I think, you know, without sounding too conceited, that I scored the defining goal that turned around Minder Soccer from the laughable, lovable losers of 1989 to the league champs of 1990.
When was this goal scored?
It was in the first... game of the our tournament of the year,
and the sun dropped behind the clouds.
And I knew, based on last year's coach, that it was time to pour it on.
Pour it on, well, Tony. Pour it on.
Well, anyways, well, at least I already got a title for this week's podcast. Yeah. So, anyways, it was a preseason tournament or a regular season tournament, the first tournament of the year at Auburn High School. Now. Anybody around here knows that, yeah, when you go to play the Maroons, they're a little bit of a bigger school and usually a bit of a stiffer test. Well, the first game of the year, we won. I don't even remember who we played that. And then we advanced to the tournament finals against Auburn. And, you know, I guess we kind of felt like we were better. We just won a game. I do remember after winning that game being surprised, like, hey, you know, we just won.
We can do this.
You know, we won two games all last year. We're 1-0 right now.
Undefeated.
And so then we face Auburn, who's a legit soccer team. And we were down 1-0 late in the game, and I was in the game. Now, this was the only goal I scored in my high school career, too. I didn't play all that much. I played enough, and I was in the game at this point.
What position did you play?
You know, I played a lot of... I played defense sometimes. I played midfield sometimes. So and never played striker, though.
A utility
though.
Kind of guy.
Yeah, I guess I was a jack of all trades, except striker and goalie. But
yeah, so
anyways, ball breaks free, you know, there's nothing that I see between me and the goalie than a bouncing ball that's rolling towards the goal, and the goalie's coming out at me, and I'm running at the goalie. I slide as if I was sliding into second base and pop the ball. I see it bounce over the goalie, and I can tell it might go in the goal. So it bounces, it bounces, it bounces off the post and in, and euphoria, because just imagine how excited you got when Abby, imagine if you were in the game.
Did you run to the sidelines and slide?
I got up and started rounding back towards midfield with, I think, one or both arms extended, and I was met by one of my friends on the team who we embraced and fell to the ground, and then where everybody else on the team piled on. Now, we lost that game, but in extra time, we lost that game, but I feel that that was the defining moment in Miners Academy boys soccer history.
Wow.
The moment that everyone knew that we had arrived.
They're really good now, right?
Yeah, mostly thanks to Al Lau, because he built a, you know, he...
Oh, not thanks to your goal?
Well,
I thought it was your goal.
My goal set the stage for Al Lau to come in years later and propel the... But we did win sectionals, and we lost in under the lights in the snow to Naples or somebody, I think. I don't know. Whatever.
Fucking Naples. In the snow. Soccer.
Yep. Great Pine soccer. That's all Naples is known for.
Yes. Grape Pie and Soccer. It's the Naples Grape Fest. Let me tell you something. That goal, I don't know if I made it clear. It when I was telling that story 3 years ago and 141 episodes ago. But we were down one in the waning seconds against a school four times the size of ours. And, I scored the goal that tied the game. Then we lost in overtime. But definitely good times. One more clip for you tonight. And before I do, I should tell you how to subscribe to the Sauce Pod. If you go to thesaucepod.com, you can hook up to us there, with us there on the right side. There's a follow bar. Got our Facebook link. Got a link to our page on iTunes, where we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and review us. And we've got a link to our Twitter account. And we're on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. It's a great way to listen to podcasts. I was just listening to some podcasts on Stitcher yesterday when I was mowing the lawn. It's Stitcher.com is actually, or the app on my phone is actually my preferred method to listen to podcasts on my phone. We're on YouTube. Search for FingerLakes1.com, subscribe to that channel, and get all the great shows that are on FingerLakes1.tv. And hey, we've touted the Chromecast, that $35 HDMI streaming device that you pop into the back of your television. And they continue to improve it, and they announced that it now supports live streaming so through YouTube. So you can watch SaucePod live now on your television, not only, you know, post el facto. So, got one more clip for you tonight. Go into episode 74, October 15th of 2012. And a friend of the show, Hunting Dog, was up here in studio, was sitting on the couch with Media Stew, who I think at that point was just sitting in for Rudy P. Ringtone. But old Hunting Dog had been at the watering hole prior. And, you know, the title of that episode was Stand Down Hunting Dog. And luckily enough, by this time, we were webcasting full audio and video. So you can have a listen and enjoy watching this clip from October 15th, 2012. To that. Too much pumpkin soup's bad. But anyways, Dateline, Holland Township, Michigan. Man cooking squirrel for lunch sparks fire that destroys eight apartments.
Dang.
A fire that destroyed 8 units in an apartment complex in Holland Township, Michigan, is believed to have been sparked by a man using a propane torch to cook a squirrel for lunch, the fire chief said.
What?
The resident was on a deck on the third floor of the Clearview Apartments. He was using the torch to burn off the squirrel's fur when the deck caught fire, Fire Chief Jim Koschel told MLive.com. The resident, whose name was not released, was removing the animal's fur in preparation to eat it. Flames spread to the roof and other parts of the building. 8 apartments were destroyed and 24 other units were damaged. So,
seems like you would just want to skin the squirrel, dress the squirrel a little bit. Yeah. Why burning its fur off with a torch just seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah. I think that's a crazy person.
Yeah, skin it first. And
he's no clearly no hunter.
No, and clearly no hunting dog. No. Hunting dog, how would you prepare a squirrel if you were going to eat it?
I would skin it.
You would skin it? And then propane torch it.
I would take the fur off.
Right.
With a propane torch or a scalpel?
I would do it with a scalpel. And then I wanted to fucking eat it.
Just raw? Just raw? You would eat it?
Tartar.
Tartar?
Squirrel tartar.
Squirrel tartar. Okay.
Zippy.
That's what I...
Are you not down with that, Stu?
That's the answer I expected.
I think it'd be a little sinewy.
Do you think so? A little gamey?
Well, you might... Maybe you'd soak it in buttermilk and then eat it tartar style.
Yeah. Boiled over hard, probably.
But over par?
No, over hard.
Parboiled?
Milk squirrel. Boiled over hard. That would have...
What's going on in the chat room tonight, Dandy? Anything?
Milk squirrel.
Yeah.
Jay Nasty's in there, Roger.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations to Jay Nasty and his band of merry men who completed the Chewed Gum Podcast episode 1 last Wednesday night. They'll be back this Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Be there.
And some funny stories on there. Some good times.
I enjoyed it.
You should join them for that one, too, Hunting Dog.
Here.
You should sit in on every podcast.
Hunting Dog is just a feature.
Just spend the whole podcast. Week right up here in this studio.
Congratulations to them, by the way. Yeah, that's right. That's great.
Congratulations to Jay Nasty and
yes.
Bub and Aaron. Tito and yeah. Q.
And Stu.
Tito.
And congratulations to Stu. Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Just look at you.
This is where I cigarette.
Do you want one? Can you not light this place on fire?
Probably not, but yeah, we'll see.
Dateline, Sunshine State, Florida.
Stu Crandall, Dateline Crandall.
Okay.
Sorry.
Florida governor gives out sex number instead of one for meningitis hotline.
Dang.
Florida Governor Rick Scott mistakenly sent Floridians seeking information on a deadly fungal meningitis outbreak to a sex hotline. Scott was at a Florida cabinet meeting on Tuesday when he announced a toll-free hotline's 866 number, but mixed up the numbers, according to WUSF News.
That shit makes me horny.
Meningitis?
Meningitis makes me horny.
After WUSF News, a public radio station in Tampa, posted the number online, a reader...
My parents are proud of me.
A reader notified the news station that the number was directing callers to a very different service. Hello, boys. Thank you for calling me on my anniversary, a woman's voice says in the recording. So, that was a bit of a gaffe, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Big time gaffe?
Feel like that.
Hey, I'm a first time caller, Jim.
Tony.
I just want to say, this penis is equal.
He's cracking himself up.
You got to stand down, Hunt Dog, right now. You're going to be sorry about when you watch this.
I'm just kidding, man. I work for FingerLakes1.com. I'm a fucking proud veteran of fucking everything you could ever imagine. I watch Homeland.
I watch Homeland.
That thing's that are running through his head right now. It's got to be incredible.
Jasper's like a terrorist.
Crying. Fucking incredible.
Incredible.
Zutador.
Incredible.
Dateline, Jacksonville, Florida. Used enemas allegedly returned to Florida's pharmacy.
Oh, that's just nasty.
It is.
Oh,
that's nasty.
prosecutors say a Florida man resealed, in return, used enemas to pharmacies who resold them to unsuspecting customers. 34-year-old Ronald Eugene Robinson of Jacksonville faces federal charges of tampering with consumer products. If convicted, he faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Authorities say the customers who purchased the used enemas have been notified. I would rather they just
seriously,
didn't.
Seriously, I wish they wouldn't call me about that.
Oh, please call
imagine
me.
Imagine you got that call, Danny. Oh, the enema that you bought last week and used just 5 minutes ago was actually pre-used.
I didn't use it.
By a 34-year-old man.
Named Ronald Eugene
Robinson.
Who then Robinson.
Repackaged it and gave it back to the store, who then sold it to you and you used it.
If I used it, I'd have a lot of money.
Because you'd sue.
Fuck yeah.
What does enema mean?
You'd have a lot of money, but you'd also have had the juices of another man's ass in your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
I'm just saying. As much money as you want. Yeah, take it.
And some Hep C to boot.
And some Hep C, right.
It's great, man. You're getting really in-depth, man. Fuck.
Yeah, you're getting really in-depth tonight. Dateline. Dateline. Poughkeepsie, Wisconsin. Not even loss of leg can stop hunting dog.
Of course, not even loss of leg can stop hunting dog. What a great headline.
That's not a real story, but it was at one point.
It was a real story.
Funny as hell. Boy, refrigerator eats on foot. It's true.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Another one.
If you watch Airplane, you believe that, yeah.
That one's true.
Okay. Let's go Dateline, Naples, Florida. Three in a row from Florida.
They're always from Florida.
Yeah, it's not a surprise, I suppose. Machete-wielding man on bicycle crashes girl's birthday party, steals beer, eats own foot.
Dang. That sounds like a Brenzone fucking question. Yeah, sorry. Oh, I say fucking sorry.
Now you can say that, but it does have its limits.
I love Brenzone. Well, you know, I love Brenzone. I love that kid. I love that guy. Chuck Carver.
Florida police are investigating a highly unusual stabbing that took place Tuesday evening. A man reportedly crashed a young girl's birthday party wielding a machete and attempting to steal beer.
Machete.
And before being chased off, the man allegedly swung the machete at the father of the birthday girl, clipping his right pinky until it dangled.
Really?
I think that's a little more than clipping it.
Just give the guy the beer. You know? It's just a birthday party.
Well, apparently the Naples News reports that the 42-year-old father was hosting the party for his daughter when the man described as an acquaintance showed up and started loading beer into plastic bags and attempted to ride away on his bicycle. When the host tried to stop him, he pulled the machete from his waistband.
I was that acquaintance. Yeah, right.
Was that your birthday party?
It was your machete. And your bicycle.
This sounds like bath salts to
yes.
me.
I've done bath salts. I've eaten faces, yeah. I will eat your face, too.
Great. Don't you love me?
You would love to eat your face.
I love your face, yeah. You know, I would. You know.
Wow. That's a bad mishap at a birthday party.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
That's horrible.
Terrible thing. He wanted the beer, obviously. He knew there was beer there and attempted to steal it. One more domestic news story here that I wanted to get in tonight. Let's see, Dateline Des Moines, Iowa.
I watch Homeland.
Des Moines.
He's on fire. Hot dog's on fire right now.
I think he's on fire. Are you serious? I love Homeland. You guys watch Homeland? Anybody watch Homeland? Are you serious? The best show ever.
Des Moines baby, a numerologist delights. A dream alignment for numerologists has come true in the delivery room of a Des Moines hospital. The Des Moines Register reports that Lila Fitzgerald weighed 8 pounds, 9 ounces when she was born. She came into the world on Thursday, which numerically speaking was 10, 11, 12. Military speaking at 13, 14, which would be 1:14 p.m. for civilians, like everybody here but Hunt Dog.
I bet Lila Fitzgerald was fucking 100,000 pounds, that fucking fat bitch.
It's just a newborn baby.
Lila's mother, 26-year-old Katie Deremia of Des Moines, said she had a feeling Thursday would be the day. And the father said he was going to buy a lottery ticket. That's just numbers lining up.
Yeah.
Happenstance or?
Yes.
coincidence then, you're saying?
Complete happenstance right there. Complete.
Complete happenstance. It's people. The numbers are just there. People draw the correlations they want.
Right.
They're applying their own structures to it.
And they're stretching it when they say the military time is 13-14. That just adds to it. But,
yeah.
And who's to say that, don't they usually say the date first and then the time? But in this case, since the time.
Let's switch it around because it fits our cool story.
That's true. It's not, I don't believe that.
They sound like terrorists, son, dog.
Destiny Unicorn's a terrorist.
And anyways, let's kick it over now and see what we got in the old mailbag.
Oh, the mailbag? I got a question from somebody that says, Jess Mead is going to terrorist.
Put your headphones on.
I love Homeland. I watch Homeland.
What's his name? Yeah, I love that guy.
What's in the mailbag, Dandy?
Subject, space jump.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here's a video recapping the space jump. It is a viable achievement, or did the guy just waste a bunch of money and time? If so, at least he wasted Red Bull money. With a video to follow.
Like, it's a viable achievement, according to me. I'm telling you.
I want to do it.
What do you guys think? What do you think, Dan?
Watch right now.
Watch the video.
Watch it.
Oh. I've seen it. It's great stuff.
Stand down.
Sorry.
If we get 100 Facebook likes, I'll do this.
Okay.
100 Facebook likes and like a couple million dollars.
Is that how much it costs?
Yeah, tons of money.
Sure.
Yeah. Great time. When old Hunty Dog visited the FingerLicks1.com studio. Great time. Well, like, thank you for joining us here for episode 149 of the Sauce Pod. As we traveled back through time, next week's Memorial Day on Monday, and we're going to be off. And then we'll return on June 2nd for a regular episode, which will be the 150th episode. Now, do we have something special planned? No, not yet, but you never know. There's 2 weeks. So let's hope for good weather so we can kick off this summer season right. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll see you in June.
Great local content like this by becoming a patron of FingerLicks1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1.